Yeah, I thought that was so cool. I catch them and God cleans them. Bait them with the love of God, the love of Jesus. So, hey, guess what tonight's title of this teaching is? Gone Fishing. I don't know how many of you out there in conference call land have spent much time on the water, fresh water, salt water, streams, mountains, lakes, or whatever. But generally, you have to have some equipment when you go fishing. Vicki and I and a partner and his wife owned a sport fishing boat for a number of years there in the San Diego area. It was called Until Then. And maybe some of you had the opportunity to be on that boat. But the point is that this boat was designed to go out and catch what?
Fish.
Fish. And in that process, there's things that you have to do to prepare yourself to do that. You've got to have bait. You've got to have fuel in the boat to get out there. You've got to have poles. You've got to have energy. You better have some sunscreen. But a lot of preparation, a lot of thought, and particulars go into the sport of catching fish. And if you've ever watched TV and YouTube and all these things, I mean, fish can be very, very small, or they can be very, very large. I'll never forget, I got such a kick out of a photo that Al Segovia sent out once where he was standing between two marlin, I believe. Obviously, he did not catch them. Correct me if I'm wrong later, Al, but he was. I think they were in Hawaii and found two marlin up on a dock somewhere. He stood between them as if he had caught them. But anyway, my point is, and I want to draw an analogy tonight because we are all fishermen. And whether you know it or not, at this point, you will by the end of this, okay? So take your Bibles, please. Go to Matthew chapter 4. And this can be the theme for all of us. We'll hang the sign on the door every morning, every time we go out of the house, gone fishing. Okay, well, here's Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Here's Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea for, guess what?
They were fishermen.
They were fishermen. King James says they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's an interesting analogy, really. He goes down witnessing to a couple of fishermen, and he turns it right around and says, you know what, guys? You're really good at what you do. I'm going to teach you how to be fishermen that will really catch the hearts and souls of people. Go to Mark chapter 1. Another verse that I think it's worth looking at. Mark 1. Oh, gosh. Verse. It's basically the same type of record. Verse 16, Mark 1:16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to catch the hearts of men, and that their lives then can be transformed and changed. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. I thought that was just so much fun to look at this, who God has really made us to be. I mean, besides the fact that we're righteous, we're sanctified, justified, we're given all these different things, there's a more of a there's a practical purpose when we get up and go out in our lives that whether we know it or not, we're fishermen. And God has called us, each and every one of us, to go out there and speak the words of life. And you know what? There are people who respond. Every one of you that's on the phone line has responded, right? Mm-hmm. Whoever that person was who contacted us and led us into whatever environment we got into where we really latched on to the Word and made the relationship with God our own, that's a fisherman. That was a person who was putting, let's just say, bait out in the water. You don't know who's going to bite. That's the thing about fishing. You go out into a location, you think you put your best bait on there, looks real lively, you throw it out, nothing. Next spot you go to, put the same bait on there, throw it out, and bam, you got the fish of a lifetime. So there's no guarantee. I used to say, you know, I don't so much like fishing, I like catching. Because catching is a lot more fun than just going out there for hours and hours and hours and there not being any type of activity at all. But we have to fish. We have to go. We have to put, so to speak, the bait into the water. So let's look at Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Yeah, really interesting. Came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. You know, that must have been a really good environment to be able to speak. And for all of these people on the shore to be able to hear. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said, Lord, you know what? We're the professional fishermen here, okay? We have toiled all night. We have taken nothing. But he took a risk. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to let down the net. That's singular, not plural. Jesus said, let them both down. Let them all down. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And guess what? It was so abundant, so full, the net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish, guys. That's not fishing. That's catching. And that's catching in abundance. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the number, the drought, the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth, what? Thou shalt catch men. What a great analogy in that moment that God inspired Jesus to say and to act out in a way that these fishermen, not college educated, not PhDs, these were blue collar workers that Jesus came and spoke the word to. They had a simple act of obedience, and then he was able to not only for them to see the results, but then to make that transition so that they began to understand the impact that their lives could potentially have. Go to Acts chapter 1. Gone fishing. You know, somebody once said, a bad day's fishing is better than a good day at work. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Fishermen come up with a lot of sayings and a lot of stories. But one thing I do know is true, and it's talked about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that each and every one of us has a mission. And it's to go out fishing every day. And, you know, as we do that, there's bound to be fruit. In verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, it says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Quite a promise, huh? That means San Diego. That means Maine. That means Mexico. That means Norman, Oklahoma. That means wherever you are, there are people who are hungering for exactly what we have to give. And you are the only person who can reach that person because of the way that you're all put together. People, God, God brings into your life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Something to kind of think about. You know, a lot of people are squeamish when it comes to fish. You know, I don't want to touch the bait. I don't want to touch the fish. On and on and on. This type of fishing involves us in people's lives. And yeah, you know what? Life sometimes with people is messy. There are things that are going on in people's lives. But it's not our job to solve every person's problem. Our responsibility is in introducing them to God and bringing them into a knowledge of the Scriptures, which brings them into a relationship with God so that God and them, in working together, can sort some of these things out, man. They may need help. They may need counsel from people at time to time. But, man, the important thing is that they're brought into the relationship and then maybe instructed on how that relationship can really function, how they hear from God, how to speak to God. A lot of things, but we don't overthink it. We don't overcomplicate it. Let's just you know, utilize those things that we've been blessed with to give. I told somebody this the other day. If all you knew about the Bible is that God loved you, you got everything you need potentially to go out and help change somebody's life. We don't need credentials and degrees and everything else. The Word of God is simple. Truth is simple. And we've got a voluminous amount of truth in Scripture available to us. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Got a couple more places after this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away." And my comment is, thank God. "Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." That's a lot of Old Testament, Old English type of words. Basically, you know, in layman's terms, if God's given us the ability to speak the word and to help in reconciling people back to him, and we do that through the word. We've been given the ministry, and we've been given the word that will enable us to have the right tools that are necessary in this process. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. I've been kind of speaking, I don't know about preaching, but I've been speaking about this a little bit, and Daniel brought it up in his wonderful teaching that he did. If you hadn't had a chance to hear that, I recommend you go to actsnowfellowship.net, and the teaching is entitled, "I Must Confess." Wonderful, wonderful sharing. But it's Ephesians chapter 6, after we're wrapping up all the different pieces of the armament, verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Paul had it in his heart. He had more word of God in there than he knew what to do with. But he didn't want to be, I say this word, he didn't want to be constipated. You know, life is a cycle spiritually. We receive, we retain, and then we release. We let it go. And otherwise, we just get stagnant. We get bound up. We need to have opportunities to really release. So we pray. I pray for you. You pray for me that doors of utterance would be open so that we can, you know, not get a big church membership, but that we can help people be reconciled back to God. And finally, in Colossians chapter 4, kind of a reiteration, of this truth. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Quite a statement. Paul was in prison when he wrote a lot of the church epistles. The context of what he is saying is very unique. But you know what? It's applicable to each and every one of us. That we pray that God would open doors of utterance. What does that mean? Open the hearts of people so that when we put, so to speak, the bait out there, that people are responsive. They're responsive to the word. It's not, we don't win people, so to speak. God is changing and transforming the hearts of people. We've got the power. It's been given to us. And now God just says, go out fishing. Go out fishing. And so that's going to be my new motto, gone fishing. Amen? Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great, great time of being together with your people. Father, we can take some of these simple truths and just see the reality of what it means to us day by day. And that we don't have to solve all the world's problems, Lord. I don't want to. I just pray to you that we can reach one person and see success there, Father, that one person would be one to the kingdom. And I just pray that we can grow and develop and be really joyful as we see fruit in our lives. And I pray for this and pray for a great night for everybody there and for those of us here and on the East Coast too. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.